The Gatha on opening the Dharma, we say rarely encountered. In a way, that's not true. We are always only encounter this, but we rarely encounter when we believe the stories, if I say it in that way, or believe the form to be the differences to be how we think about them, how we attach to the thoughts or to the characteristics, and don't see them for what they are, and don't see be our life as it is. So in one sense, in various ways, we clarify this by, as we do in the four practice principles, we say caught in self-centered dream, to allow us to notice how we're believing form or differences or characteristics, because what our habitual reactiveness otherwise is only to notice the characteristic and our story about it, and not to see, be, if I say, the form is emptiness. We don't see that form is being just this moment. We don't see that aspect, if I use that kind of expression, of this very life. Instead, we focus and narrow in on the particular characteristics that we think about, feel about, attach about this life, the story that we add on about how it was, should be, could be, what it means, how this is separate from all the rest. And we don't see, to use the analogy that we talked about in the Thursday night class from the Diamond Sutra, that the wave is always the ocean. Instead, we just see the wave story about this person, this event, what's happening to me, how I'm feeling, thinking, whatever characteristic, as just that, without seeing that that wave is always the whole of the ocean. It's never the story that we give about it. And it's, in practice, it's always a matter of, if I say it, entering through being present, going beyond our story about being present, in the midst of characteristics, to be free of characteristics, or free of abiding in our story about the characteristics, so that we can be this non-abiding ocean, this emptiness that we are, which is manifesting as this moment form, this moment being just this moment, which is form is empty, compassion's way is emptiness is form, our action, our functioning, our breathing, listening, speaking, and so forth. So, then, the whole ocean is just this wave. Then, this pond, however it is, clear, muddy, smooth, agitated, is just the moon in the pond reflected, yet the moon isn't disturbed. If we just see the pond, then we miss the moon that's in the pond. If we just say, oh, I've got to smooth out the pond in order to for the moon to be there, then we miss the fact that the moon is always there, however the pond is, and the moon isn't, should I say, disturbed or damaged or become wet in the midst of the pond. Okay. What I like to do, as you know, is just say a few words and then see if we can talk about this in terms of our practice, because that's the only point of me speaking here. Otherwise, you don't need to hear more words, except to the extent that this supports you in your life practice, in your being just this moment, being compassion's way. So I'll stop now and give you the opportunity to bring up what you wish. And I'm going to move a little back so I have everyone here. Okay. If you have something you want to bring up, please do. If not, that's fine. I've been speaking for hours now, so I don't mind.
I can bring up something.
Okay.
Okay. I attended one class at Lincoln Land Country College on conflict resolution.
Uh-huh.
And the instructor asked us to find something common among two or three other students. And people wrote, we have watch on, and we have similar color hair. And then I sent an email to the teacher. I said, we have everything common, and there's no difference. We are having everything common. It's quite a question of attitude, question of mind, you know. I mean, you know, we focus, you know, we say that it's different, but we try to find common thing, but everything is same, you know, we are basically same, you know. So I don't know whether I'm right or not, you know, that's what I sent email to.
Yes, I hear what you say. In one sense, you can say, yes, we're all members of the same nose-hole society. We all breathe in, breathe out. Some of us breathe in deep, some breathe out shallow. Some breathe in tight, some breathe in relaxed. What's in a way fundamental is to see that breathing in, again, this is just an analogy, breathing in sharp, breathing in deep, breathing in shallow, still all just breathing in, the ongoing changes, sometimes deep, sometimes shallow, sometimes tight, sometimes relaxed. See, we tend to think it's either or. There's differences or they're same. In a way, differences is exactly the same. It's in the midst of the ocean that you can have big waves and little waves. It's if you try to just say that the same cancels out the differences, then you don't see it. If you try to say the differences cancel out the same, then you don't see it. The issue most of the time for people is that we get caught up with, I like this, I don't like that. Because I like it, I should get more of it. Because I don't like it, it shouldn't happen, and I should get angry when it happens, or I should do A, B, C. And we do it automatically and therefore create suffering for ourselves and suffering for others, because we don't see that the whole universe of birth, death is arising, passing, arising, passing, arising, passing in the midst of, if I say it in such a way, the ocean of not being born, not dying. But not being born means being born, getting old, getting sick, dying. See, that's, and it's the either-or-ness where we get caught. And it's always our practice to see, how am I not able to be with this difference? Or how is my story about, because they're doing ABC, they're not okay. Or I'm angry with them because, or I'm angry with myself because this happened to me and I'm not feeling well this morning. I shouldn't not feel well. See, that's where I said, it's being in the midst of differences or in characteristics and yet not attaching to characteristics, to use, or being non-abiding in the midst of the constant flow, whereas we always want to stick somewhere and then do things as a result of that and suffer.
Okay. Thank you.
See, it's always our practice. These words are only supports in terms of our actual life practice, because we are always this ocean, and yet we are this ocean just as this wave, and we have to function as this wave that's the whole ocean, and yet this wave needs to take care of this wave. We have to surf this wave the way it is, not some daydream about how it should be. See, if I can't see on one side, I have to know. I can't see on one side. Okay, that's just the way it is for my eye. Not better or worse. And yet, I turn my head to see what the side that I can't otherwise see.
You brought up the Thursday class. The
yes.
Diamond Sutra. And in studying the Diamond Sutra, attending the class and reading the chapters and all.
Speak up a little more, because I can't hear if you're too quiet, and others can't hear.
Really?
Yes.
In the Thursday class, we've been studying the Diamond Sutra. And from my point of view, if asked, I would say the fundamental teaching or lesson of the Diamond Sutra is, as it says, not giving rise to the perception of a self. Now, you can disagree with that or say that, well, it's more complicated than that, or that's a simplistic view. That's the way it seems to me.
That's only one side.
Yeah, well,
you take the next step, because not giving rise to self, therefore can do A, B, C, therefore can call itself, therefore can talk about, I must do this, you please can do this. Because not holding on to thoughts, therefore we can speak of the thoughts that arise.
Okay, that's fine. But the question for me is, I mean, that's all well and good. That's nice teaching, good teaching. But what's the practice there? You know, what's that got to do with my life and the things that I face and I deal with and what arises in my life?
Good.
And I obviously for me that's what you're talking about now. And when you say it's not attaining some state of not being attached or any of that stuff. Maybe it is, but I don't see it that way. The practice is just the noticing when you're caught. And that's all that's required.
No, there needs to be the next step of manifesting what's called for in being this moment, in compassion's way. See, it's being just this moment.
That's where we are now class, actually. That's the section we've gotten into, where they talk about skillful means.
Yes.
And skillful means are great, but oftentimes I've seen what appear to be skillful means based on delusion.
Yes, then it's not skillful means, because we have, because then still believing the characteristics. See, it's not holding to characteristics in the midst of characteristics. It's being able to see, be this moment as is. See, what we tend to do is tell ourselves a story about it and then react out of those habits. Then we never see where we are. It's being, the form is empty, therefore being able to emptiness manifesting in the form. See, that's the step. It's because the wave is the ocean, therefore the ocean can be the way, the particular wave. Or specifically, because we notice we're caught up in a reaction, let's say it that way, and we, in a sense, practice being, experiencing that and not holding on to the reaction, if I use it in such general terms, then being present, we can see a little more clearly what to do, or what the choices are, or what's supportive and appropriate. We can't see if we hold on to our story about what he should and she should, and I shouldn't, and they could have, and etc., etc. Or we hold on without even knowing in our reactive habit of, oh, I'm so angry, or I'm so afraid about that. Without, not that there's anything wrong with that habit arising, that's just a wave arising, but getting caught up in that, we miss the fact that that wave is exactly the ocean.
Right. And that's what I've noticed about practice.
Mm-hmm.
And for the longest time, I thought the waves aren't supposed to arise. You know, you're supposed to practice until these things don't come up anymore, until these habits don't manifest.
Yeah.
And what a dead end.
Well, they might or might not. That's not our job. Or if I say it differently, cause and effect isn't ours to figure out or determine how it's going to be, but see it as it is. It's the universe presents us. We don't have to get the universe, carry the self forward and confirm the universe. I use that expression, forget the self, then the universe manifests and we keep releasing what we are sure about how it is and be this not knowing intimacy of this moment. Then we do our best, step by step. Just take this step. Yes.
Sometimes the water is peaceful, sometimes it's dashing up against the rock, sometimes it's just wavy, sometimes it's... but when you mention the moon as well, you know, there's a lot of unknowns here for me, and it's difficult sometimes to be in the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time...
Difficult how?
Because I'm under control.
Good.
Difficult because I want, you know,
good.
I'd like to have the answers.
Good that you notice that and not wanting to be other than that.
Yes, you know, it's interesting because if I stay in the present moment with whatever's going on, then I'm aware that everything is okay regardless of what else is going on. I don't always stay there long, but at some knowing level, mm-hmm. I regardless of what happens. But it's just that constant, the unknown, you know, it's just that unknown, and I have to stay away from the unknown. Or something, I have to stay in the present moment, not be concerned.
When you say, I don't always stay there, what does say that differently? When I don't stay there, then you're doing what?
Then I'm in the judgment, and then I'm wanting to control.
Good. Good. Then those reactive habits, whether they're feelings or thoughts or bodily or whatever way we talk about them, emotions, we could use all sorts of labels to talk about these aspects of human functioning, whether they're body reactions. Those are our practice effort, our reminder. Something is called for right now, because otherwise we're going to be caught up in these characteristics. We're attaching, abiding in them, and missing our life because of them, because they blind us. Yes, Shodron.
I was reading I didn't go to class, but I was reading the chapter 18 of the Diamond Sutra. And they're talking about these various...
Speak a bit louder.
I'm sorry. I was reading the chapter 18 of the Diamond Sutra, and I guess towards the... maybe through the whole thing, or maybe towards the back, the latter part of that chapter, they're talking about the various eyes, you know, Dharma eyes, and Buddha eyes, and Prajna eye, and I forget the other ones, but, you know, physical eyes and stuff. And, you know, I was thinking that, well, these Buddhas and stuff, they know all this stuff. You know, they can see and know and everything. And then we're always talking about not knowing, you know, being not knowing. Mm-hmm. But then I thought, well, maybe it's because it's conceptual, you know, We don't really know in concept. We think we know in concept, but we don't really know. And so knowing is some other, you know, seeing rather than some kind of idea that we have. But I was a little bit confused about these terms of seeing and knowing and not knowing and like that. So I don't know if you have anything to say about that or not. But
the terms... Prajnai, Dharmai, Buddhai, to use the texts talks about them. They talk about them as almost as if they're levels or aspects of practice of being able to see and be as is in a broader sense. If I use that kind of analogy, then the ordinary way where we attached and believe characteristics and stories. So in a sense, they are ways of opening up the knowing more and more to being the not knowing. Which, if in a way you remember this text, at the end of the chapter comes to present, past thought doesn't exist, present thought doesn't exist, future thought doesn't exist, which is not knowing. Because the thoughts are the knowing that we want to hold on to, which keep us from functioning as Prajna I, Dharma I, Buddha I. So in a sense they fit together exactly. They fit together exactly. See. Prajnai is the ability to see, if I simplify it, to see through the form to the emptiness of form is empty. Dharma, etc., etc. So, okay, does that help? Yeah. Also.
Yeah, I like the thought of being able to look differently I'm reading some lectures by Ram Dass, and he's mm-hmm. talking about the same thing. He's like, there's several different ways of seeing, several different eyes you can look from. When you look at one person, you may look at that it's a male, a female, chubby person, skinny person, handsome, gray hair, whatever. But then with different eyes, you see that this person is a lawyer or a mother or the social structure. And then some have the eyes where they can actually see the aura of a person, the colors around the energy body. And then the higher you go up, or whatever, if I may use that term, you start seeing the energy field that is making up this person is the same energy field making up this tree and is building it, and you see the how they're all one. So it's just different levels of being able to perceive and see, and it's kind of the same thing we were talking in the Diamond Sutra about. How do you look? What do you look through? Or what is it that you see? And why is it that you see what you see? And being able to see all things is just interesting. And noticing what is it that you look at, what is it that you see, and on why you look at what you look at, and it's very interesting.
Yes. In a way, I'd like to say it a little differently, in a way to extend what Ram Dass is saying. When you look at someone and you see them in terms of those specific characteristics, whether they're male or female, or good looking or not so good looking, young, old, strong, weak, or they're rich, they're poor, they're skilled, they're not skilled, they agree with me politically, they don't agree with me, they're wrong, they're right, those are getting caught up in the characteristics and failing to see the Buddha that's there instead. And you could use any term. If you don't want to use the word Buddha, you could use the word the Christ that's there. Or you could use whatever word and term that you feel comfortable with to see them as they are, instead of the story that you're holding on to and using to judge, evaluate, agree, disagree, like, dislike, all of which lead to sufferings. It's not to disregard that if you need a lawyer, you need to speak to someone who's a lawyer and not to someone who's an accountant or someone who's a cook. I mean, if you go to a cook and ask them about, here's my contract, could you tell me what to do? You say, excuse me, I can tell you how to make this soup, but I don't know anything about contracts. And if you insist on going to a chef for your contracts, you're going to have problems in court, or might have problems in court. So if you insist on seeing someone and saying, do I like them or not like them, that's what how I should be decide whether I'm going to be here with them or get angry with them, then you end up having trouble. See, this form is empty, emptiness is form, is then enables how do we skillfully and appropriately manifest who we are in being here, in eating this food, in listening to this person, in feeling how it feels right now in this moment of life. And yet past feelings doesn't exist, present feelings doesn't exist, future feelings doesn't exist. Feelings, thought, doesn't matter what we add, how we say the particular form or differences or characteristic.
Why do you say feelings, form, characteristics do not exist?
Because they're non-abiding. In other words, they're not our story about them in term. They exist, of course. This floor is here. And yet, if I get caught up in how I like this floor, I don't like this floor, this carpet should be lasting longer, how come it's so worn out, etc., etc., then I miss this the nature of the universe where this carpet is connected to how it was made and how it gets wear and how the whole room is and so forth. In the same, the fact of life, if I say it in that way, is that thoughts and feelings appear and disappear. If we hold on to them and act out of holding on to them, especially holding on to our reactions to them, then we're going to have trouble. It results in suffering. If we make them into a fixed, permanent, separate thing, which is what we do when we say they exist as this, then that just creates suffering. So that's why. If I say it a different way, it's because our life is non-stop flowing, is ongoing change. And it's not, quote, me in here as opposed to the whole universe out there. And it's not me in any particular way, or my body, light, mind, world condition in any particular way. Sometimes it's strong, sometimes it's weak, sometimes it's sick, sometimes it's healthy, sometimes it's dying or dead, and sometimes it's being born. And it's non-existent. Those are all waves on the ocean, if I use that analogy. It's not just an analogy, but analogies are useful for us to go beyond our, narrow ways of trying to think about things and figure them out. So a wave, we all know a wave is on the ocean, and yet if we often get caught up in just the wave and we forget that it's the whole ocean. And this wave of here is the very depth of the ocean, and it's the very breadth of the ocean, which is endless, goes on and on, doesn't begin and doesn't end. And yet it's this particular, and this wave is gone as soon as it appears, and it's never anything, it's just appearing and disappearing. There is no wave except appearing, disappearing. It's just, if I say it, there is no thing called a wave. There's just this energy appearing, disappearing.
Isn't the suffering necessary as the sort of the vehicle to get beyond that?
I don't know if it's necessary or not necessary, but it's here. And I don't know if there's anything to get beyond except when there's something that we're caught up in. Because we're never anywhere else. So it's not beyond, it's when we're caught up, that's what's creating suffering. Therefore, I can talk about what's skillful or appropriate to do. But the truth is, there was never anything that was needed or caught up. Except we don't believe that. And we suffer. And we believe the suffering. So we suffer about believing the suffering. And if it's not so, wonderful. It's always for us to see for ourselves how it is, and not in order to convince someone else or fit some picture, but in order to taste with our own tongue our own life. And we could fool ourselves, and if we fool ourselves, we end up being a fool and having the consequences of that. So then we should be a complete fool and forget about all the things we've convinced ourselves that create difficulties.
You have to admit, it's a pretty amazing skill. Being able to create something out of nothing. Actually, it's been a very valuable aspect of our nature that allows us to survive as well as we can as a species. Be able to create something out of nothing. It's an amazing skill. It just has a downside.
Yes, we are very skilled in many ways. Thank you. Core and self-centered dream, only suffering. Holding to self-centered thoughts, exactly the dream. Each moment, life as it is, the only teacher. Being just this moment, compassion's way. Caught in self-centered dream, only suffering. Holding to self-centered thoughts, exactly the dream. Each moment, life as it is, the only teacher. Being just this moment, compassion's way. Caught in the self-centered dream, only suffering. Holding to self-centered thoughts, exactly the dream. Each moment, life as it is, the only teacher. Being just this moment, compassion's way.
Copyright 2012, Elihu Genmyo Smith.